that I never come here without coveting your prayers. I would like to consider today our compassionate Lord. And I said it that way because I would like for us to consider the compassion that the Lord has toward humanity. There's definitely a place that we have in the Scripture that lets us know about says both the goodness and severity of the Lord. We should always recognize the fact that we're going to stand before the Lord, and that should cause us a great caution, at least in our spirit, realizing that there's two places. Talks about the ones on the right and the ones on the left. And that day of separation, that day of dealing with who we've been here on this earth. And our eternal rest. We don't like to consider the fact that there is a hell along with heaven. But we must. We really should. So, along with that, I want us to recognize that our Lord was very compassionate on humanity. And His desire is that we live for Him and enjoy the blessings of doing things right. Living a righteous life. So I would like to think about His compassion today because I think we need that compassion. I think if you were going to go visit somebody and they were, in our common term, they were grumpy and difficult to deal with, you wouldn't want to stay there very long. You'd just feel a little bit uncomfortable. But if you went to somebody's house and they were just open and said, make yourself at home. I remember when I was a boy, I'd come down here and I had a Aunt Etta Davis. And she had a certain knack about her that you entered her home and you felt at home. She had this way of just making you feel comfortable in her presence. And I thought, what a gift. And I think, Lord, help us as we go through life to have that same, or at least covet to try to cultivate that same quality of making people feel like we care about them. And they're important. And the Lord cares about you and I today. He's interested in helping us with life. And so I would like to, over in Psalms 141st chapter, right, the latter part of the book of Psalms, I want to skim, I want to just pick out a few verses here and I want to read them. 8th verse of 145th Psalm. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. The Lord is good to all. He is tender. His tender mercies are over all His works. All Thy works shall praise Thee, O Lord, and Thy saints shall bless Thee. The reason why we bless the Lord is because we've experienced His tender mercy. I often have thought of what it would be like if we came here together and shared just if I stepped down to the from the pulpit and said, you all tell me about your Lord. Tell me about what He's done for you. Tell me, remember the times of when He came in your distress of mind, when you had questions you didn't know how to answer, and He came and answered those questions. And you felt His presence and you felt strength, His strength coursing through you. And you came out of your closet of prayer and He Himself had lifted head to the point that things didn't seem like they were before. Have you had those moments when you went to the Lord in prayer and you felt His presence and He changed the situation in your life? That's special. How about the times when you had some great affliction, or maybe the chill went through your veins when you realized that something seriously is wrong? You hear the word cancer or whatever. There's all kinds of things that come shockingly across your mind, and you say, this is real, this is shocking. And you go to the Lord and you pray. And you pray. It doesn't always mean that the Lord changes the situation completely, but He changes us. And what about the times when you had an affliction that was scary? And you went to the Lord and He answered prayer and He healed you. That day hasn't quit. We still have it now. And we should testify more about it. And sometimes we almost accept the little, what we consider the little healings that He has done for us. And we accept it on Monday morning and forget about it by Wednesday night. I don't mean that to be an indictment. I think that's just a human condition. Sometimes we accept what He's done. And we should mark it down in our mind and tell the rest. Share it when we come together. Say, this is what the Lord, my compassionate, loving Lord, has done for me. I think that will light a fire on Wednesday nights. And anytime, folks, I want to tell you, you don't have to wait till Wednesday night prayer meeting. We can share it in the congregation of the saints. Tell what the Lord has done for you. Tell me about your Lord, the times that you know Him, you spent some time, and He's mean something to you. How He's changed your heart. Maybe you can come and say, I was struggling with bitterness. This thing that the devil was just kept bringing to my mind and bringing a certain person's face to my mind. And every time I thought of that person and what they did, it just built up within me and it just stole my peace. And I realized this is bad. And I took that to the Lord and said, Lord, I don't want to carry this anymore. And He met me with such peace. The next time I saw that person's face, I had love for him. Shouldn't we testify about some of those things? This is all important, folks. This is where we live. This is the real and our compassionate Lord. Our loving Savior is able and willing to help us with those things in our life. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. The Lord's gracious, He's full of compassion. All Thy works shall praise Thee, O Lord, and Thy saints shall bless Thee. I want to ask us, are we blessing the Lord? Oh, it ought to be an easy outpouring of our very heart, saying, thank you, my precious Lord. I used to hear what I called him. He was my great uncle, Uncle Edwin. And often in his prayer, he was saying, dear Jesus, dear Jesus. And when I was young, he said his dear Jesus in a way that I didn't really recognize it, but I got older and recognized he was saying, dear Jesus. Often in his prayer, he was saying, dear Jesus, I'd hear my grandpa say, talk about his precious Lord. Dear Lord. Folks, let's pass on to another generation what it means to truly adore our Lord. Let us bless Him, and Thy saints shall bless Thee. In this generation of a world where people somehow don't know direction of life, And so many things are happening around about us. Let's bless the Lord. Let's thank Him for His loving compassion. Let's tell them about who we serve. He's not a hard taskmaster. He's not mean-spirited. He's not waiting with anxious feelings, waiting for the moment that we stumble. He's not waiting for that moment to crush us. He's waiting for that moment, perhaps with expectation, that He sees His child in a struggle and He reaches down His hand in His compassion to grab His child, sometimes a stumbling child, by the hand and says, "Live, walk, gain strength. This is our Lord." 14th verse. The Lord upholds all that fall. Is that true? It's written in the Scripture. If you in your life, folks, I know, and I can't testify for you, but I know in my own humanity, and I've been around others that I recognize that we struggle once in a while. We meet up with things. David even said this. He said, "My feet well nigh slipped. I was in a place where it was hard. I almost gave over to the temptation just to quit until I went back into the temple. Till I went back into that place where I could talk with my Lord. And when that happened, I came out seeing things different because our Lord cares. The Lord upholds all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down." Oh, isn't that encouraging to me and you this morning? When we go through, what was it, over in the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, "When thou passest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I know your name," he said. "I know who you are. And I'm not going to let this happen to you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." This is the God we serve. He's not willing that any should get down under the cloud of accusation and crumble. The devil will come and he'll accuse. And sometimes we give him some ammunition, because he'll pick at any little thing. Brother Jerry said, "Rebuke him." I agree. In the name of Jesus, rebuke him. But sometimes it's hard for us because we get in that place that I'm feeling so crushed. And I want to tell you, in that moment when you feel crushed, listen to what Jesus said. The Lord upholds all that fall. It is the will of God that we survive. And not only survive, but we thrive. More than a conqueror. That's what Paul said. To him that loved us. Can that be true still 2,000 years later? Yes, indeed. To all generations, that God is still the same. The Lord upholds all that fall and raiseth all those that be bowed down. And I'm not here to tell you where you may have experienced or maybe even experiencing a feeling of being crushed or pushed down. But I will be here today to tell you, if that's where you are today, there is a God who wants to pick you up. It's not His will that you be crushed under that. The Lord is nigh, 18th verse. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. This doesn't mean dread Him, but that means honor and respect. Hold Him in reverence. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked will be destroyed. Our compassionate Lord wants to preserve all those who love Him. He does preserve. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him. Those who reject Him and turn away, behold both the goodness and the severity of the Lord. I would like now to turn over into Matthew, the 9th chapter. I was debating on whether to use some of the 9th chapter or some of the 1st chapter of Mark, but there's a lot of things that depicted in both those chapters about our compassionate, loving Lord being expressed through His Son, Jesus Christ. In the era that you and I live in, this gospel era, this outpouring of God to humanity, over here in Matthew, the 9th chapter, I want to start reading here with the first verse. Talking about Jesus, now He entered into a ship and passed over and came into His own city. And behold, they brought to Him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And I don't know, I've heard different explanations about palsy, and palsy may have been a word that covered a lot of different territory. I don't know. There were some hypothesized that some of the diseases that was going around back then because of sinful lifestyles was part of this. And I've also heard that it could have been like a stroke, had paralysis or something. I don't know. But this man was in need, in trouble, unable. They had to carry him. Behold, they brought to Him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, saw their faith. You know how you see faith? By actions. These people somewhere had captured in their mind, they had heard of what this man, Jesus, had been doing. They may not have even known Him at that point. They may not even have recognized Him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They may not have grasped that. But they grasped enough to know that there was a mighty teacher. There was one who was going about doing good, healing the sick, healing the brokenhearted, setting at liberty those that are bound. They heard this. And they said, I believe there's help over there for me. And they took their loved one. They brought this man unto the Lord. I don't know, perhaps he himself had said, I wish y'all could take me over there. I remember when I wasn't like this, and I'd love to be able to get up and do normal things again. When I read stories like this, I'm encouraged yet to take Brother Curtis Williams to the Lord. I'm encouraged because the Lord healed people back then. He hasn't changed. Still the same. But He saw their faith and said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Look up. When we are in trouble, it's the easiest thing to look at all our trouble, because it is real, and we do have trouble. But Jesus now was standing before Him, and He said, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. What a magnificent declaration to the one who's weighed down. Now, folks, He had the right to speak to the sin and say, you're forgiven. To speak to the action that was on that man's heart, the guilt that he had, and say, you're forgiven. He did that to this man. Be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. There is nothing heavier or more crushing to humanity than to be under the weight of guilt. It's horrible. People seek all kinds of things to try to assuage their guilty conscience. I believe that there are many in addiction, not all, but there are many in the world of addiction out there that are there because either guilt or some damage that has been that has happened to them in their young life, they don't know how to handle it, and here they go, trying to find some other way to assuage their hurt. We have a good message to share with the world around us. We can look at those people and say, son, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's what Jesus said. I've overcome it. And He has that message to give to those around us. Be of good cheer. You don't have to be locked into this pattern of failure all your life long. You don't have to deal with the guilt of your soul to the point that you can't fly free. God wants to forgive and heal and make whole. The broken, the damaged, and I don't know what all, but Jesus addressed this man. He said, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Again, a wonderful. When we hear the Lord say, thy sins are forgiven, what a weight rolls off our shoulders. What a newness of life. What a joy to be able to go from that place and know that all is well. It's a fantastic feeling. I don't know about you. I could retell my story, but I won't take time this morning to retell my story. But I'll tell you enough. And when I came defiled and guilty to that altar, and I was sick of who I used to be, and I didn't like what had happened to me in my life, and I gave it to the Lord. And when He came, I'm telling you, no better words were ever told me than when He came and claimed me as His own. It's tremendous, the change. And I just want the whole world to have that. I do. I wish sometimes I get frustrated. I look at somebody and I say, I wish somehow I could break through the wall that's in you. I would love for you to know how great it is to be changed. And so I tell everyone here and our young people, all give your heart to the Lord. Children, as soon as what you know, how you hear the Lord talk, when you give your heart to the Lord. Build upon that relationship of doing, serving the Lord, loving Him with all your heart. Oh, it'll protect you from so much in life. The man heard the words, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes, they heard him, Jesus, say that too. And for them, in their perspective, they didn't believe that this was the Son of God. They were having trouble. They saw him only then as a blasphemer. They thought nobody has the right to say that. Jesus, knowing him, the fourth verse, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Why are you thinking that? Why do you think that was wrong for me to say, thy sins be forgiven thee? For whether is easier, what's easier to do? Is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, arise and walk? And it's just logical thinking to to realize that it's easier to say something you don't have to prove. How can you prove somebody was forgiven? You can say it, but it's hard. You can't prove that. The man could know in his heart. Faith reached out and grasped it. I believe that man knew it when Jesus said that. But it's hard to prove to anybody else. But it's one thing you can't fake. This man that came unable to walk, broken, and they brought him there. And Jesus said, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up your bed. Arise, take up thy bed and go unto thine house." That was sufficient proof, wasn't it? He did it. Picked up his bed and went home. That said something to those, the skeptics that was looking around. They had a choice now. They could believe. But sadly, I think many of them didn't. But that should have shaken them. If you would have been there, skeptical, how would you have felt? He spoke to this man, they carried him in, and he said, "Take up your bed and walk." And he did. He got up and walked out of there. I think that would have started making my skeptical mind say, something's happened here. I don't know. I may have still tried to look for some sort of trickery, but I this one's different. This one's real. This man went home. I don't think they're faking anything. He rose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw... Now, again, I want you to notice, this is God's Son acting like the Father. He was compassionate. He cared for people. He dealt with a sin problem in people's lives. He does. That's a great problem that humans have. And Jesus has the answer. Affliction is a big problem that they have, that they had, and we do too. Jesus addressed that too. In a marvelous way. He arose and departed to his house, but when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God. Now the skeptics, those over there who had a lot to lose if they believed, they really didn't have anything to lose. All they had to do was say, "You're our Savior. You're our Messiah." And they could have entered right in to the power and authority of their Lord Jesus Christ. But they stood off at a distance and were afraid. But the multitude saw it and they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. They saw the power of God and they thanked God for it. This compassionate Lord. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. So this is Matthew, the publican at the seat of customs. The one that we know was one of his disciples, Matthew. Matthew followed Jesus. Where was he? He was in that category of people who Zacchaeus had been in that category. He was a publican. He was a tax collector for the Roman government. He sat at the seat of customs. Here's where Matthew was sitting. And Jesus came by, and probably every Jewish eye that went by and looked over at Matthew, they looked at him with a scorn on their face. You know why? Because it was common for them to exact more than what they... to line their own pockets. They stole from people because they had the authority, the power. They could exact whatever tax they wanted to on goods and certain things going in. They could do that. And all the Jews, when you said the word publican to them, that was synonymous with sinner. That was synonymous with somebody who was doing things bad. You remember the publican that Jesus talked about in the Scripture? The one came into the temple and he was very self-assured. All his righteous ways that he had died fast often. I give tithes of all. I do all this wonderful thing. I pray often. And he stood in the middle of the temple in the sight of all and extolled his virtue. And likely he may have done everything that he said he did. He may have given tithes. He may have done all that. But he had missed that part of relationship that changed his heart. And he took pleasure in all his abilities. I'm righteous because of this. And the publican that everybody... And Jesus gave the story. Talked about the one that over in the corner, just back over a while, out of people's eyesight, stood over there and he hung his head and smote his breast and said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's who I am." And Jesus asked all the logical thinking people that stood before him and said, "Which one do you think went home justified?" Everybody knew the answer. Folks, there's a lot of value in humility. There's a lot of value in bringing ourselves to a compassionate God who's not willing to crush and extinguish the smoking flax, but rather he's willing to fan the flame and grab us by our wounded hand and raise us so where we can walk again, the fallen. You see? Compassionate Lord. He's not looking to crush. He's looking that the wounded or the crippled leg would be made straight. It's his desire. What a wonderful Lord. Trying to figure out where I am now. He saw Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, "Follow me." And then likely, I just like to think that likely Matthew was probably tired of all the scornful eyes that looked at him. That this eye that looked at him was quite different. Jesus looks at people different than what we do or like the world does. Sometimes we look at and have right to scorn. We feel like we do anyway. And we say, "Those bad people." And everybody could have rightly said, perhaps, that Matthew, "You're sitting in the sinner's seat." But Jesus walked by and looked at him and said, "Would you like to follow me?" And something about the look and the command, "Follow me," I think it leapt in his spirit and looked like an eternal hope began to spring inside. He said, "That man's got something for me. And I must go." And he left the seat of custom. They had to get another employee. Because he went and followed the Lord. Matthew. He said, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass. Again, I want to challenge this. Who would you arise and follow? Would you follow the one that walked by and scorned you? Or would you follow the one that came by and with kindness flowing out of his face and out of his eyes toward you with a certain pity and a certain hope? Who would you follow? I think you'd follow your compassionate Lord. The one who gave himself that we might be saved. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him. Many publicans and sinners. Matthew, he probably had a lot of friends. A lot of other publicans. Sinners, synonymous. Publicans, sinners seem to go together in the same verse. In the same almost words, they... The publicans and sinners sat at meat in the house. Behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Jesus, with him and his disciples. Well, now that don't look good, now does it? You're supposed to be above this. I'm not going to sit here and tell you need to lower yourself in moral value and be like the publicans and sinners. Jesus didn't lower himself in moral value when he did this. Instead, he was on a mission. He was on a mission of mercy, of hope, of purpose, of compassion. That these sinners, these publicans, all these who had, I don't know, I like to think that perhaps Matthew heard that and he followed the Lord and he began to listen. I think when he left his seat of custom and started walking with Jesus, Jesus may have put his arm around him and said, "Brother, I'm so glad you came. Let me tell you about the purpose that I have for you. I want you to feel clean in your soul. I want you to know that all is well. I am able to forgive your sin. I'm able to set you in a right way. If you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. I'll change what's going on in your heart." He does. He still does. And I like to think that Matthew heard those words and they probably washed over him with such life-giving hope that he said, I've got friends. I've got to go tell them about it. I have been rescued from this guilt, this place of derision. And I like to think perhaps he went over and told his friends and said, there's hope for all of us. Anyway, the next scene that shows up here is that when Jesus, they came and sat at meat with him. Many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, his disciples, "Why are you eating with you and your master? Are you eating with publicans and sinners?" This doesn't look good. You shouldn't do that. Jesus had an answer for them. I wonder what would happen. He said, "Well, you can come too. Come on. Sit right down here with them. I've got something to give you too." Because he does. He's of great compassion, full of mercy. When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Folks, I believe there's a quality that we all should be willing to acknowledge. If we have a need inside, we ought to say, "I need it." Because without acknowledging the need, you're not going to receive. It's a pretty simple concept. These people, the publicans and sinners, all knew they had a need. They were broken. They were sick. And Jesus told those who were self-righteous, "I can't really help you." It's those who feel their need. And they're here. They're here. Those that are... "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Even that was a merciful statement and a compassionate statement. Called to repentance, turning around. Giving it all to the Lord. 35th verse. Time's getting by and I think we need to move along. 35th verse. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." He went around demonstrating the gospel. First, the good news. The hope, we could say good news encapsulate a lot of ground. But within this good news was the news that he changed people like legion. Within this good news is that he found people who were sick of the palsy and forgave their sin and healed their body at the same time. Just did it. This is our compassionate Lord. He went around preaching the good news of the kingdom. He went in their synagogues, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, this place of leadership. Folks, we all, you may think you're leading your life. We can sometimes think, well, I'm just going to take my life in my own hands and I'm going to do it my way. A number of years ago, there was a number of people who made that song, I Did It My Way. They made it popular. Was the first one Frank Sinatra? I don't know, but I think it may have been. Elvis also sung it. There were others that have sung it since. But that song really troubles me. When anybody stands up with arrogance and said, I don't have any shame. I did it my way. My way was bad. And so was theirs. There's a place that God would have us all to come where we're willing to humble ourselves and say, Lord, my way, I want your way and not mine. He went around preaching the good news of this gospel and the kingship, that we don't have to do it our way anymore. We can do it God's way. We can give ourselves into His leadership, His kingship in our lives. And healing every sickness, every disease among the people. That's what Jesus did. I have to admit that I don't see it quite, perhaps on the momental impact today as what it was if we were there and we saw Him going around healing people. That's tremendous, isn't it? But it doesn't mean I haven't seen healings. I have. I've experienced them personally. I've seen miracles. There's no other explanation for it. I'm a skeptical person. But I see no other explanation except that it was a miracle the Lord did. Which convinces me today, our God reigns. Our God lives. And He has control. He went around healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion on them. I think if we lived back there and somebody was over there healing and doing these things, I think, and the news spread out, I think we would have gathered around, say, let's go visit there. This is, and the people came there with perhaps curiosity. Some of them believed, some of them had all kinds of perhaps reasons to come. Maybe they were sick and hoping to be healed. And the people gathered around there, but He saw the multitudes. When He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He had compassion. He cared about them. He cared about their problems, about their life, about their condition. Then said He unto His disciples, a harvest truly is plenteous. Look at all the people who have come with open hearts, perhaps curious to see what... He said... And the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray. And don't we need to still pray today? Lord, send laborers into your field. And we may easily come up with an excuse saying, but I can't do hardly anything. It's okay if you can't. But if you have two fishes, give it to the Lord. If you have anything at all, one little talent, they have so much more. They can do so much more. And I have nothing. I'm embarrassed to even act like I can do it. Don't do that. Belief, trust, faith, rise. I'll give what I can to you, Lord. Just two fishes, a little bit of bread. Who can know what the Lord can do with a fully yielded soul? And I challenge us today to buy into the same compassion that our Lord has. Act like our Lord acts. Be compassionate enough that when the little we can do, I still give it to the Lord. I am thine, dear blessed Jesus, all thine. Now, He's not going to overwork you. He's compassionate. He's not going to cause you to feel guilt-ridden if you don't accomplish by the end of the day what you thought. Oh, I felt like the Lord wanted me to do this and I didn't get it to come. Leave that in the hands of the Lord and ask for grace and strength for the next day. Our Lord cares about you and me. But I want us to enter in to the type of character that our Lord has. He cares. And let that be the motivation of our life. We look in, there's a lot of other aspects. Yes, there's righteous ways of righteous living. Buy into all of it. But be as close to being like our Lord as what we know how to. Let His character and His love and His compassion rule our life. Back in the Sunday school this morning, part of what we were talking about back there was a little part of it was being a peacemaker. Did you know we can be that in our day? We can be a peacemaker. Or we can allow ourselves to be all agitated and not be allow. We can allow agitation and the lack of peace to rule our lives. And I know it's tempting because I've been there too. I'm not going to accuse any of us of being that. All I can tell you that if we start being ruled by that type of oppression, go back to the Lord and say, I give this to you too. Because He's compassionate. Well, I thank the Lord today. And I want to encourage us to look to this loving shepherd, this heavenly Father that we have. This one who is interested that we be spiritually healthy and strong. And we grow in His grace. And that we be more like Him. Pray for me. I want to serve Him.